Hey folks, welcome back to another Q&A episode of Mental Health, a new segment on the podcast where we answer your questions, whether they're follow-up questions from previous episodes or random mental health related topics we haven't covered yet. If you'd like to submit your own question and support our ad-free independent show, you can do so by heading to patreon.com/mentalhealthpodcast. And other than that, thanks so much for being here, and we'd really hope that you enjoy.
Hi, my name is Beth. I'm from Phoenix, Arizona, and I had a question about using the light therapy. I know for depression, you talk about using it first thing in the morning, but I also heard on one of your talks, you talked about for senior citizens who have trouble sleeping through the night. My mom wakes up very early, usually around 3 o'clock in the morning. And I think you've talked about using it later in the day. So I'm wondering if you could address that at all. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you, Beth, for the question. Thanks, really appreciate Beth. It. I imagine that you weren't referring to any of my talks about circadian rhythms because I don't have any available in the public domain. You know, I'm not saying I don't have any, but Steve, I think this is definitely one for you.
Are you saying that circadian phase shifting is not part of your bailiwick?
Do you know what is your bailiwick though? Using incredibly long words, and I'm here for it. The only thing that would have made that more Dr. Steve was if you give it in Latin.
Oh God, my mind is reeling right now. I'm like, post hoc ergo propter hoc. Okay, I'm gonna give a story, all right? Because I think this is one where an example is going to be really, really helpful. So some years ago, my wife, before she was in private practice, she was working at a big community mental health center in town. And there was a secretary there who had been complaining for months and months and months that she was always waking up at about 3 a.m, couldn't fall back asleep, and had no trouble falling asleep at night, but, you know, typically got drowsy way too early. So she'd be drowsy at like, you know, 8 o'clock in the evening. And her ideal wake up time was 6 a.m. Her ideal bedtime was 10 p.m. And she was just getting more and more and more frustrated and worn down. And I turned to my wife and I said, you know, we've got an extra therapeutic light box in my lab.
It's just sitting there in my back pocket.
It was literally in a cabinet in our lab on campus. It's like, it's sitting there gathering dust. We're not running a study with it right now. We could let her have this light box and basically give her the guidance that, you know, if her target bedtime is 10 o'clock at night, then she can start using this light. Now, we want to be a little bit conservative, a little cautious. So I said 3 to 4 hours. So it's like, okay, let's start 4 hours ahead. So 6 p.m. to
And I think that's a really important point, though. Like, the fact that we are talking about using light therapy conservatively gives a little flavor of just how powerful it is. Do you know what I mean? Because like, there is part of me that's like, bro, why be conservative? It's just light. You know what I mean? Like chill out. Like, it's not like a class light A
is
drug.
It is like a drug. And you know, so we had to be really, really careful and had to give all the disclaimers and caveats about like, look, we're not giving medical advice. Here's a protocol that's been published. You know, if you decide you want to do it, maybe talk to your doctor first. Like, right, you know, all the disclaimers, but like, hey, here's this light box. And so maybe you might consider starting at 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. Sit in front of it. And by the way, it's 10,000 lux. That's the technical spec. 10,000. That's just a measure of how bright it is. 10,000 lux for a half hour. And then avoid light in the morning. You know, use like blackout curtains in your bedroom. Put on sunglasses. Don't go outside. Or if you do, like, make sure you have really, really dark shades.
Put on sunglasses and while you sleep, just in case.
Absolutely. Like, get a sleep mask, and so she tries it for a week, and she's like, yeah, you know, this is helping. Like, this is really incredible. She's like, I'm now waking up more like, instead of 3 a.m, it's more like 4:30 or 5.
Wow.
So we're like, okay, yeah.
The nudge is real. It's happening.
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, let's go ahead then and shift it from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. So we're getting a little more daring. Now, why is that daring? Because if you're getting that kind of intense bright light, it's usually most of us, it's going to take us a couple hours before we can fall asleep after that. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get this big release of melatonin, which is a hormone that's released in the pineal gland in the center of the brain that more or less sets the stage for sleep onset. But totally worth it in this case. So she's like, all right, you know, I'm going to move it to 7 p.m. And she's like, still a half hour. Like, yeah, probably half hour. Let's see how that goes. And she gets back in touch with my wife a couple weeks later. And she's like, this is unbelievable. She's like, I've been suffering with this for like over a year. And she said, and like tears in her eyes, according to my wife, she's like, I literally woke up to an alarm. Whoa. At 6 o'clock this morning. She's like, that is the first time that I slept in through the night, woke up at 6 a.m. in like over a year. And I mean, she could not believe it. It's like, there's no drug involved. There's nothing as fancy. It's just as simple as like strategic deployment of light. But again, light is a drug. By the way, we can do this. If we're traveling, there are travel therapeutic light boxes that are very light, that weigh under a pound. They're like a flat LED screen. So like if we're crossing a lot of time zones, we can use this to stave off jet lag. We can use it in either direction. By the way, if we're having trouble falling asleep at night, which many, many people suffer from, then we want to go the opposite direction. Then we want to actually do the bright light early in the morning. Mm. And we want to avoid any light after probably 6 or 7 p.m., we can use light to reset the body clock in either direction. And when our body clock is in sync with the natural ebb and flow of light and darkness outside, that's when we're going to be thriving. That's when we're going to live our best possible life. And so the whole idea is just to use and deploy light strategically to get our body clock perfectly in tune with the rhythms of the world around us.
So walk us through kind of like the end of both of those stories. So let's say I'm the secretary. I'm now waking up with my alarm at 6 o'clock. Do I continue using my bright light therapy at 7 p.m., 7:30 p.m.?
No. Absolutely, no. Okay. Thank you. No. Please do not. Thank you for asking that. God, how did I just leave it?
That wasn't even me being sarky or like me being a producer. I genuinely was just like, huh, like, do you just keep doing that? Or like, what? Like,
No. Thank you for that. No. Once your body clock is now in sync, then in fact, you want to take advantage of our natural hardwiring, which is we want to, think about our ancestors 10,000 years ago. They're living outside. They're, as I've very often said, our ancestors are like, they're on a lifelong camping trip. They're living outside. And so our brains are designed to get a reset of our body clock every morning, soon after we wake up. And so I would say, now this is really interesting, because if you're in the dead of winter and you want to be waking up at 6 a.m., that might be an hour or two before sunrise, right? And so many, many of us, if we're waking up way before sunrise, we're going to want to use a light box within a half hour or so of waking up to give our brain the signal of like, oh yeah, the sun has come up. You can now basically peg and reset your body clock to this wake up time. Why? Because the artificial light tells your brain, like your ancestral Stone Age brain, it tells it like, oh yeah, this is what we do. This is when we want to be waking up every day. So, and by the way, if it's a time of year where the sun is already up outside soon after you get up, the best thing you can possibly do is get outside for 15 minutes outside within 1 hour of awakening. All of us. It's literally the best thing you can do to enhance your sleep drive later that night when it's your bedtime.
And hey, you know, who knows, you throw in a little bit of exercise in there, maybe a little walk or a little something, you could take a couple of things off the therapeutic lifestyle there.
Dude, you're such a you are like the maestro of stacking all these. Yeah.
It's going to be on my tombstone. He stacked many things. On the note of the light box in the morning, I use a little travel light box as part of my mental health toolkit, my own kind of personalized treatment plan to keep my depression at bay. And, you know, first came across it in your book, The Depression Cure, and we've talked a lot about light exposure for treatment of, I think, both depression and anxiety. And these little things are awesome. Like, I would do a fair bit of traveling, and it's something that I can just keep up wherever I'm going. And particularly because I am existing in places where the sun doesn't shine often, or at least not at the start of the day. You know, it's like early summer here, and I still am using my light box in the morning because I get up, you know, say around 6, and so the sun hasn't necessarily come through yet. And it's an amazing little thing that you can just have as part of your own mental health toolkit. Tie it in with, like, you know, whenever you start work, or whenever you eat your breakfast, or whenever you're reading, or you're feeding your kid, or whatever it is. You know, it's just a little thing you can tag on to the rest of your day that can make a huge, huge difference.
Absolutely. Yeah, the other thing you and I have talked about, and maybe we'll have a whole episode on this, this whole topic of strategic deployment of light. I think we will, right? We have to. But something you and I have talked about is another device for people to use when they're waking up before sunrise. And it's called a lot of different things, but basically a sunrise simulator. A sunrise simulation lamp that you put on your bedstand, and roughly 30 to 40 minutes before you even wake up. So this is going to take the place of your alarm clock. 30 to 40 minutes before you wake up, it starts giving you a simulated sunrise in your bedroom. And that hits specialized receptors. You know, the light travels through your eyelid, even though your eyes are closed and you're sleeping.
Crazy.
It's still speaking directly to your brain. And it's saying, hey, here it comes. Here it comes. The sun is coming up. And you get that reset of your body clock. And you get that beautiful surge of cortisol that allows you to bounce out of bed and be oriented and awake and not have that horrible, sluggish feeling that we get. Especially, have you ever noticed, Hugh, when your alarm goes off or you're awakened and you're very, very deeply asleep? And you're a little disoriented when you're coming out of that slow wave, deep delta wave sleep. You don't even quite know where you are. And there's that incredible sensation of sluggishness and sort of almost physical pain.
Yeah.
Very different from when we're awakened from a dream, typically, where it's like, okay, you know, I wasn't that deeply asleep. I can boot up quickly out of this. And so using that Dawn simulator lamp will basically guarantee that when you wake up, you're not going to be in such a horribly deep level of sleep that it's going to feel painful to try to boot up.
Wow. That is a big, big sell for big sun alarm clock, big sunlight simulator, corporate.
we'll put there is a company that I have no financial stake in any of these companies we talk about, so that we have no conflict of interest. But there's a company called Philips, Philips, I believe, it might be two L's, but Philips makes a really nice Dawn simulator lamp, and I'm sure they appreciate the shout out. We'll give them a link in the show notes because. As I recall, Hugh, that is the Dawn simulator lamp that you have. Is that right?
Absolutely, bro. And I use it every morning. It is a awesome, delicious thing. My wife calls it the sun. So she'll say, turn your sun off.
Now, wait till your next child is a boy.
Yeah. Sun, be gone. I actually have we should have a segment of these Q&As, or maybe just like a segment of the podcast in general, called like Troubleshooting Hugh's Life. And maybe we can have like a little jingle. When we become like a nationally syndicated live radio show on every radio station, that's the sort of stuff we're going to need to start thinking about.
Oh my God.
I have an ignorant question for you, okay?
Yeah, okay. Bring it.
I'm embarrassed to say this to you, but I'm doing it for you, listener, okay? Should I do my light therapy without my glasses or my contact lenses in?
That's actually a very deep question. That's not a silly question at all. So,
especially because I just got some like special light blocking glasses. You know, I got a little glare over it, and I was like, this is counterproductive to what I'm trying to do here.
Yeah, exactly. And it is the case that most prescription glasses now are sold with some sort of not just UV light block, which helps prevent cataracts and other kinds of ultraviolet damage to the eye, but also just with basic anti-glare. And so, you know, basically it's like a photosensitive pair of sunglasses that everybody's walking around with now, and that will reduce the effectiveness. Basically what it does is it is reducing the dose of light that hits the retina in the back of the eye. Wow. And so ideally, if you want to get the full dose, then you want to do it without your glasses. Dude. And I'm glad you asked too. The good news is that if we are reasonably entrained, if we're reasonably in sync with our biological clock and the actual clock of the world around us, 15 minutes of bright light in the morning is all we need. And, you know, if we're going outside and the sun is already up, like, you can keep your glasses on. You're going to be fine. You're getting plenty of light, even with your polarized lens, whatever you have on, you're fine. If you're using a light box inside, then, you know, you may want to take your glasses off. If it is the dead of winter and you struggle with winter onset depression or SAD or seasonal depression, then you absolutely, if you're looking for an antidepressant, full on antidepressant effect of therapeutic light, then you absolutely want to do it without any kind of dimming effect from glasses. Oh, unless the glasses have no solar dimming. If they're just, you know, clear lenses, you're fine. And most contact lenses will have a little bit of UV block, but they don't really dim the light that's hitting your retina.
Yeah. I'm going to go and buy a really cheap pair of glasses for morning time now. I have so many more questions about light, but actually I'm going to hold my horses because I know we're going to do a big deep dive episode all about light therapy coming up soon. But that was a delicious little teaser, and I really appreciate you asking that question, Beth. Thank you so much for kicking this one off for us. And Steve, I
absolutely
jumping into it with you at another date. Although I have to say, I give like a quick little highlight, my favorite moment of this podcast?
Oh, please. Yeah. Was there a favorite?
My absolute favorite moment of this Q&A episode was whenever the words, "We must use both darkness and light," came out of your lips. I was like, dude, this is some Lord of the Rings stuff right here.
I was thinking more Star Wars, right? You know, the force encompasses both. It's a very Jungian sort of idea.
Awesome stuff. Thanks so much once again to today's question asker. Really appreciate you taking the time to do so. And like I said at the top of the show, if you'd like to submit your own question to Steve and I, you can do so via our Patreon community. patreon.com/mentalhealthpodcast is the link. That'll also be in the description of this episode, wherever you're listening. And that is the place where people just like you support this crowdfunded show. We don't have any sponsors. We don't have any brand guidelines we have to stick to or products we have to promote. And Steve and I think that that's really important for our own editorial integrity and also for the longevity of this podcast. It doesn't take a lot of people. It just takes a few of you listening who have the means and who want to get behind and support what we're doing. You believe in our mission to provide free, high quality educational content around the topic of mental health, and for that to be available for people around the world, no matter what their circumstances are or where they live. So yeah, if that's something that you've been considering for a while, we would really appreciate you heading over to Patreon to join us there. And other than that, thanks so much for spending this time with us, and I hope to catch you again next time. Cheers.